Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith located in Sacramento, California.
We hope our podcast will help those who listen to grow in faith.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
We hope you find them inspiring.
God, may you trouble the waters, may you calm the waters in the depths of our soul, may you speak to us a word that we need, your word of hope in this day and this time. Amen. I was reading a story, and the person's name is actually Linda shared it with me, and it just felt too true to us, to me, not to share it. This pastor, his name is Billy Strayhorn, and he shares a story like this. He heard about a young pastor who was, for the very first time in his life, he was appointed to a church, and he was going out to lunch on the Saturday before his very first baptism with his wife and his wife's parents. And his mother-in-law was trying not to get herself in any trouble. So she was trying to hold back any questions that she might have, but she could feel that something wasn't right. And she was trying to figure out what this could be. And she was struggling. She wanted to ask her daughter, she wanted to ask her son-in-law, but she held back. And then she overheard at the very end of the lunch, this is what she heard. Her daughter looked to her son-in-law and said, "Yes, we can go back by the church and you can practice baptizing me one more time before tomorrow. But when you do your first funeral, you will not be practicing on me." And that feels real, because for a long time, actually until just the last little while, I used to have Sarah listen to every incarnation of a sermon that I thought I would give on Sunday. I would make Sarah on Saturday or Friday go through it, Saturday night. She would hear multiple sermons before we'd come in, and then I'd always ask her right after, "How did that go?" And she just kind of wondered about what was going on in me. I don't actually think, well, I'll confess, I came in this morning and actually did practice the words. I'll say it, I did. It's true. But I don't think that we really need to practice that act of baptism in that particular way. But I do believe that baptism is something that we're called then to practice for the rest of our lives. Baptism is a moment, and then it is every moment that follows. And so practicing baptism is real. It's our calling, not in the way of this young pastor who might have been named Matt Smith. Today, though, is a significant day in the life of Carissa and Wes and Olivia and Claudia. Linda and I have met with all of these folks over the last few weeks, and we've gathered together around questions about what does it mean to be baptized? What does grace mean in this? Does it matter if we're baptized? What does baptism look like, and what does it signify to us? Mostly what we did is we shared our stories. Because at its depth, that's exactly what baptism is. It's the joining of our stories with God's story. We'll mark you as a beloved child of God. And in that moment, your story gets wrapped up in an intimate way with God's story. This is a deep symbol that followers of Jesus have used throughout the generations. It goes back to the story that we just heard from Mark. When Jesus was baptized by John, the entire community was gathered around, much like we are today. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And those words echo this morning. For Carissa and Wes and Claudia and Olivia, you are God's child. With you, God is well pleased. That's the part of baptism I want to invite all of us to practice this day and every day into the future. This marks a new moment in your lives to begin to practice your baptism in a new way. And what I want you to most take away from this is just that simple phrase. Beloved, you are God's child. See, the tears might come for those of us that love you in this space because we know the depths of the journey that lies ahead. We heard it in the story that we shared this morning. These are waters of hope and newness, and these are waters of tragedy and despair. And God's love, God's calling to you as beloved child, is found in the midst of all of those places, those times. Baptism doesn't ensure any particular way of life for you. It calls you into a deep way of relating with God, to hearing the echo of God saying, "You are beloved," this day and every day. See, it's that story of baptism that makes all the difference. It did last year in the lives of the young people who were baptized here in this space. It does this day and every day ahead. See, the Methodist Church, of which we're a part today, knew that to live out that baptismal covenant is really, really hard work. And so what they gathered together, what they called were class meetings. And they gathered in small groups around tables, I imagine, maybe 6 or 8 people. And they watched over each other in love. What they were doing was rooting their life in grace and growing in faith and reaching in love. They had different language for it, but that's at the core of what they were doing. And they knew that they needed one another to be reminded of that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need folks around me to echo those words that Jesus heard when he came out of the waters. "You're beloved. A child of God." That's exactly what happens in our kitchen tables when we gather together to listen for how God is moving in the lives of others. It's what'll happen next week when we make commitments to God and to one another about how we hope to grow in faith in the coming year. You could say all we're doing is echoing that baptismal covenant every day from here on out. It's that simple. You're God's child. The beloved, with you God is well pleased. But oh, how easy it is to forget that, to let go of that, to not actually hear it. One of the beautiful things as a community of gathering together each year to remember baptism is that we're all reminded again of our own baptismal covenants. And for those of us who have yet to be baptized, we're asked a question about what might this mean for us? How might God's future call us to this way of life? The commitment cards that we're going to share together next week are a way to deepen in these baptismal vows. See, the waters of baptism sweep over all of us. They carve the depths of God's fingers, sculpting us this day and every day. The depths of these waters name and shape you this day. And they name and shape each of us every day. Our United Methodist Book of Worship talks about baptism in this way. "The baptismal covenant is God's word to us, proclaiming our adoption by grace. And it's also our word back to God, promising our response of faith and love. Baptism is an act that looks back with gratitude on what God's grace has already accomplished. It is here and now an act of God's grace, and it looks forward to what God's grace will accomplish in the future. These waters are our way of remembering that God's love for you came before any of this. God's love came for you before you even could feel it or know it. It just was. Baptism, though, also says that God's saving grace is present in you through that moment and then calls you to the work of God for all the days ahead. To be sure, it's a gift. John Wesley called it prevenient grace, the love of God that comes before us. And it's also a powerful ritual and sacrament that reminds us that we're beloved children of God, period, no matter what. We say it on the sign outside, all means all. Remembering our baptism is about living that life as a beloved child of God. Practicing our faith then is a way that our baptism makes a difference this day and every day. I'm going to close this morning with a story that comes to us from a preacher who has spoken to the souls of preachers for many, many years now. His name is Fred Craddock. And Fred Craddock tells the story of a time when he was appointed to serve a church, a small church in a small town in Oklahoma. And his community was one of four churches in this small town. The attendance at these churches would kind of go up and down based on the weather, based on the seasons of the crops, based on what was happening in everyone's lives. But there was one place on Sunday morning that almost always had better attendance than any of those four churches. And its attendance never wavered. It was a small little cafe. And a group of men would gather there no matter what. Their wives and their kids would take off to church, and those men would be there in that cafe. And they'd talk through the weather and the crops and what was happening and how it was going. Churches might have the poorest attendance of a season, but that cafe, those folks were regular. And the saint of that cafe, the guy that was the leader of this whole group, his name was Jack. Now, Jack, in this space, was the one that folks turned to. They knew that every once in a while, they might lose one among them. And they were really concerned about that. You know, when a person's spouse kind of talked them into coming along with them to church. Or maybe a child had kind of convinced them, you should try this out. And they just felt some sense and they let the cafe guys down. But Jack was not going to let those folks down. He was the patron saint of that group. So one day, Pastor Craddock is walking along the street, and he sees Jack coming the other direction. And it's not, if you know Fred Craddock, it's not his custom to kind of go up to folks and start to accost them or like tell them about Jesus. That's just not how Fred moves through the world. So I imagine him kind of just walking along the street. But Jack, he had something that he wanted this new pastor to hear. So Jack walks right up to him and he says, I work hard and I take care of my family and I mind my own business. It's real clear between the lines. Leave me alone. I'm not a prospect for your church. So Pastor Craddock didn't have a problem with this. He left him alone and went on his way, working with those folks that were in his community. And people were shocked, utterly shocked, when Jack came walking down that aisle to be baptized one Sunday morning. Pastor Fred Craddock was shocked when this happened. And people started to start rumors. Well, he must be dying. He must be so sick that this is his last resort. there must be something wrong with him. He left the cafe. Can you believe this? Something has to be wrong. All kinds of stories. But when Pastor Craddock asked him, he wondered about this as well. And so after the service, he said to him, "Jack, do you remember that little saying that you always used to say to me?" It went something like this: "I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business." Jack said, "Yes, I remember. I used to say that a lot." "And do you still say that?" Pastor Craddock asked him. He said, "Yep." "Then what's the difference?" He said, "Back then, I didn't know what my own business was." See, through baptism, through the love of that community, through the love of God, through hearing, "You are my child, beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Jack's business became clear to him. It became real in a new way. I wonder if that baptism invited him to see his business as the story that Wes read for us from Matthew. And it doesn't say that there'll be clarity or certainty. It says some doubted. And yet, along the way, the waters of God kept shaping them. In a little while, the folks who are baptized are going to light a candle. And the light symbolizes God's love for them. And that light has been real in their lives since long before we've gathered in this space. And they're going to blow out that candle. And I used to get really nervous about that in worship, when you would blow out candles. Because what does that mean then? Is that light going away? And what I want to invite you to notice when they blow out that candle is not the candle going out, but the light being transformed. It's going to go all throughout this sanctuary, all throughout creation, just as God's love flows in you and me and throughout all of the land. May this be a day that we all remember the way God calls us beloved, children of God. May the waters of God sculpt each of us this day and every day into faithful practice. And through this, may we know in the depths of our souls the business that God calls us to. Amen.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yeah. that the